Romans 3. And look down in verse 24. This is what I'm going to use as my text today. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by His grace. When a sinful soul is blessed of God to see the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross, what He Himself accomplished on the cross. See Him there on the cross in their place. Not just this generic term, this general view of the cross and Jesus dying there, but seeing Him there for you, particularly you, bearing your sins, dying for you. Then, what a comfort. What a consolation to the soul. When God gives a view of the cross by faith, when you're sinful. Now you notice I said a sinful soul. What consolation to the soul. A view of the cross by faith brings consolation where there was misery. Brings comfort where there was nothing but sorrow and grief. And our Lord cried in agony that we might cry with joy. Now at Sinai, there's no comfort at Sinai. There's no comfort going back to the law. There's no comfort going to Moses. There's no comfort found in the Ten Commandments. No comfort there. Because when I find and I look at them, I find that there's not one of them that I haven't broken. If I haven't broken it in actuality, I've broken it in my mind, I've broken it in my imagination, I've broken it in my thoughts, I've broken it in my heart. But oh, what comfort, what joy, what peace and hope and salvation for the soul by the death and cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Now, three things I want to look at here in this verse of Scripture. And I hope that God in His sovereign mercy will make them a blessing to our hearts and our souls. First of all, redemption. In whom we have redemption. We'll look at redemption. Secondly, the justification of sinners. Justification of sinners. Thirdly, how they're justified. If there's a redemption, then sinners are justified. Well, how do them sinners get justified? Huh? Well, let's look at this redemption. First, it says there in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace. Now watch this. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now what does redemption mean? Let me define redemption. Redemption is when someone is taken captive. Someone comes and kidnaps them. Someone comes and takes them captive. And they hold them in bondage. And they hold them there and they will not let them go until they set a price. Now here's a price. You pay this price. You pay this ransom. And I will release them. And I'll let them go free. Well now here's where in the world we come into this redemption. It tells us there that there is none righteous, no not one. So we were taken captive by the law of God. Taken captive by the justice of God. Taken captive by the sin of our own natures. And so we were delivered up to the law. When we were taken captive by sin and by our guilt. And so what happens is that they deliver us to the law of God and the justice of God. And there we are. We are in the strict hands of the justice of God. And justice. Now here we are. We're sinners. Have our guilt. And so what happens is that this sin and guilt holds us captive. It has dominion over us and holds us. And we're sold under sin. And we're slaves to sin. And we can't get our way out of it. And because of our sin, because of our guilt, we're delivered over into the hands of the law of God and the strict justice of God. And justice says, I will not let them go. Because they sinned and they've got guilt. And they've broken my holy law. They don't have any righteousness. They don't understand. They don't fear me. They don't seek me. And he refused to let us go unless, here's the stipulation, unless we got the ransom price. You got to have a ransom price. You got to have a redemption. Now, how what are we going to pay to justice to let us go? What are we going to pay to the righteousness of God to let us go? What have we got to offer to Him to say, please set us free and let us go free? Huh? How's our souls going to be redeemed? Well, first of all, I find out I'm bankrupt. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no way to pay for my own redemption. I don't have any righteousness. All I've got is sin. All I've got is guilt. And not only that, but I'm a debtor. I owe for all the sins I committed all my life. The one I was born with. The one I'll live with. And I tell you, the ones that I commit, I'm a debtor. And I'm so poor that I can't pay for my first sin and all the sins that I've committed up to today. Can't pay them. I couldn't pay the price of my ransom, my redemption, could you? And because we couldn't pay, does that mean, beloved, that God's going to have pity on us? No. Justice wouldn't let Him. And because we couldn't pay, they come and take everything that was away from us. We became homeless. We don't have a home in the presence of God without Christ. We're naked, we're poor, we're miserable, and we couldn't find a ransom. But now, wait a minute. Turn over to Job 33. Turn to Job 33. Man has been lied to all his life. Talked about what great power he's got, what abilities he's got, and come to find out we can't pay for one sin, much less all of them. And we're in debt to the justice of God, the righteousness of God. And how in the world are we going to pay for our sins? We're poor, we're miserable, we're naked. Couldn't find a ransom. Let's get old Bill Gates to stand up here and give all of his money. How much would all his money, how many sins would he pay for? Let's let old Warren Buffett, who's probably the wealthiest man in the world, let him step up here and see how many sins his money will pay for. Let's let one of these self-righteous free will preachers get up here and tell us how in the world we're going to get and save ourselves from our sins by our power and our ability by letting God do something for us. Let's let somebody who's self-righteous and got a righteousness that they've earned, let them stand up and tell us how we can be made righteous the way they are by the works of the law. When it says no flesh be justified in His sight. Come on, somebody tell me. Well, let me tell you. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that He gave His life a ransom for many. And listen to what it said here in Job 33:24. Then He is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. You know what it says over there in the margin? An atonement. And then watch what happens. Then his flesh should be fresher than the child's. That's that new birth. That's God taking us and putting it all away, and he shall return to the days of his youth. God said, I found a ransom. Now here's what happened. Our Lord Jesus Christ stepped in to be a surety for us, to stand good for our debts, to stand good for our sin, to stand good for our guilt, to stand good to the justice of God and pay this ransom, to pay this debt. And He stood in the stead and room of all believers. And He did pay the ransom price. And you know what the ransom price was? God said, I'll require your life's blood. I'll require you to shed your blood, being justified freely through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, through faith in His blood. In His blood. And oh, beloved, it's not only He paid the ransom, His life's blood, but His life's obedience. When our Lord came into this world, His life's obedience, beloved, why was He obedient? Not for Himself. He was born righteous, lived righteous, sinless, holy life. And a perfect life, sinless life, sin, holy, harmless, and undefiled. So we need a life of obedience. Who was it for? His life from start to finish, what did He live His life for? Not for Himself, but He said, Father, I finished the work that You gave me to do. I've saved those, I've kept those, I've prayed for those, I've died for those, and I've laid down my life for the sheep. And from the day He was born to the day He died on the cross until He cried and is finished, everything He did for somebody else. And who did He do it for? He done it for His people. And now, beloved, since Christ, God found the ransom in Christ, the atonement in Christ, we're delivered from that curse of the law. What does the law? What can the law say to me? Love God? I do. Where do I love Him at? In Christ. Don't have no other gods before me. I don't. Why? Because Christ is my God. Huh? Love your neighbor as thyself. I do. Where do I do that? In Christ. Oh, beloved. We're delivered from the curse of the law. We're delivered from the vengeance and justice of God. And we're set free now to go on our way. Since Christ stood in our stead and He found that ransom, we're clean, we're free, we're justified by His blood. And I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you the value of this. Look in Genesis, Revelation chapter 5. I don't know why I got Genesis on my mind. But the value and the preciousness of the redemption that's in Christ. You know how valuable it was, how precious it was? It redeemed a multitude that no man can number. Not just us, but a multitude that no man can number. Look what He said in Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals there. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God. That redeemed means He paid the ransom. He paid the price. By Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There's people down in Mérida, Mexico this morning. And a preacher standing up there, an American preacher, Cody Gruber, standing up there preaching to them right now. And he's preaching in Spanish, but he's preaching the same gospel that I'm preaching. And there's people down sitting down there in Mérida, Mexico, listening to the out of every tribe, every kindred, every tongue. Down in New Guinea, Lance Heller down there with preaching to them cannibals and things. Oh, listen to me. I'll tell you what. So He redeemed a multitude. And let me tell you something. This ransom, this price that Jesus Christ paid was all paid, and it was all paid at once. Was my sins paid for and my redemption paid for when I believed? No, it was paid for 2,000 years ago on the cross. Somebody preached it to me, and because they preached to me, I believed that what took place back there. Huh? Oh, listen. The Scriptures tells us in Hebrews 9:12 says that He, by His own blood, entered in once into the holy place, just once, into the holy place, and He came back out with eternal redemption for us. Huh? And oh, beloved, He paid to the uttermost farthing the debt of all believers, of all ages, for all time. And now, beloved, we owe nothing to the law of God. I want nothing to do with the law of God, and the law of God has nothing to do with me. The justice of God, God said it'd be just to justify them who believed on Christ. And all, beloved, Christ, our Lord, honored the law of God by keeping it, and he satisfied justice by bearing the curse of it. Now let me tell you something. If a man's going to be saved by works and by his own obedience and by the keeping of what he thinks is the law, well then he's got to keep it perfectly. Because if you don't keep it perfectly, then if you're guilty of one point, you're guilty of all of it. And so here's what happens is, not only do you have to obey the law, but if you don't obey the law, you have to bear its curse. And what is the curse? Curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The soul that sinneth it shall die. So here's what happens. If Christ don't pay all the debt, and here's what he did. He not only obeyed all of his precepts, down to the minutest detail, he took all the guilt and all the sins of all of his people, and he gave them the obedience of the law, and charged it to their account, and had the sins of all his people charged to his account. Huh? And oh, beloved. When our Lord Jesus Christ, when he cried out on the cross, "It is finished," what do you reckon it meant? It meant it left nothing else for him to do now, and nothing for us to do, for us to accomplish. When he said it's finished, sin was finished. Sin was done right there. Death is finished right there. Salvation is finished right there. We're complete in him who's the head of all principalities and powers. And I'll tell you something else. He paid this ransom, this redemption, all by himself. All by himself. You know what Hebrews 1... Look over at Hebrews 1:3. Hebrews 1:3. He paid this all by himself. He does not need our help. He does not need our cooperation. When our Lord Jesus paid for our sin on the cross 2,000 years ago or a little better, we weren't even there. We couldn't cooperate with him when he was on the cross. Could we? We couldn't do anything to stop it. We couldn't do anything to add anything to it. So when he said it is finished, he done it by himself. He did all this by himself. He paid the ransom by himself. Look what it said here in verse 3 of Hebrews 1. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. Listen to this. When he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, he did it all by himself. Now, they had a fellow. They call him Simon. He was a Cyrenian. Our Lord Jesus was carrying his cross going out through Jerusalem. And they found Simon the Cyrenian and said, "Here, you carry his cross." Simon, somebody bear his cross, but he won't be nailed to it. Huh? There's two thieves beside our Lord Jesus Christ. Neither one of them were righteous. They couldn't help him on his cross because they were nailed to a cross. There were three men on them crosses. They couldn't help him. They couldn't help themselves. But there were three men on those crosses. One on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. One was dying in his sin. One was dying to sin because Christ said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And one was dying for our sins. But all three of them were suffering the consequences of sin on that tree. Which is what? Death. Where God finds sin, he punishes it unto death. One man died for his own sin. Died there. Beloved, Christ didn't do anything for him. One man, he says, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." He died to his sin. And our Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, he died for our sins. But the fact is, all three of them suffered the consequences of sin. Huh? But Christ, only one of them, suffered the consequences of sins for a multitude that no man could number. And our Lord did this all by himself. Isaiah 63:3 says, he by himself, he said there was none to help him. There was no man there to help him. And he tread the winepress of God alone, and he tread it out. And he says, you know why I done it? It was because the year of my redeemed has come. Huh? And our beloved, the awful debt, and bless his holy name, the awful debt his people owed, the debt of sin, was laid upon our Lord Jesus Christ's shoulder, was laid upon his heart, was laid upon his soul to bear. And our Lord Jesus in the garden, he said, Father, if it be possible, if it be possible, but he says, nevertheless, at thy will. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he says, nevertheless, at thy will. And so he took that cup of God's wrath, unmitigated wrath, full wrath of a multitude that no man, all the wrath is due us. All the wrath of God and the justice of God. Our Lord said, oh, not my will but thine be done. And he took that cup with all the wrath of God in it. And he turned it up and he drank it and drank it and drank it and drank it and drank it. And he took it down. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he turned it up again and he drank it and drank it and drank it until there was nothing left in it. And oh, beloved, since that thy Lord did that for me, then can God come and punish me? Can God be angry with me? Huh? And let me tell you something else about this redemption price. It was accepted. Not only did he do it by himself, but it was accepted. How do we know that God accepted his price? How do we know that our Lord declared that he would pay all the debt to justice? When they arrested him in the garden, they came out in the garden. Over 500 men came out to take one man. And they took him to Caiaphas, the high priest. Then they carried and tried him there. They took him over to Herod. They tried him there. They took him over to Pilate, and he tried him there. And he was taken to all them to be judged by all. And then all of them, beloved, is judged by all. And then God himself brought judgment against him. And then when God brought this judgment against him, there he was hanging on that cross with the judgment of God on him. And payment was made. And when he cried, it is finished, they took him down and put him in a grave. Huh? Put him in a grave. Dead. Dead. Lifeless. Wrapped him up. Held a funeral for him. Wept over his body. Sealed his tomb. Just like we put somebody in the ground, throw the dirt over them. That's what they done, is they took that body of our Lord Jesus Christ and sealed his tomb. But on the third morning, because there was a covenant of grace in heaven, and beloved, when sometime in there, and that time on the cross in that darkness, our Lord Jesus Christ entered into that holiest of all, put his blood on that altar, and came back out, and he ratified that covenant with his blood. And how do we know that he was accepted? Because he was resurrected from the dead. Huh? Resurrected from the resurrection is the receipt of the payment being accepted. Huh? The resurrection is the receipt of the debt being paid. And you know what? It says, I read it to you there in Revelation 5 minutes ago. It says that he was as a lamb that had been slain. They saw the evidence of the wounds in his body, even in heaven itself. When we get there, he'll still have the wounds in his hands. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I can put my finger in his wounds of his hands. No, we no sooner said it, Christ said, here they are, Thomas, go ahead. And beloved, when we get to glory, how are we going to recognize? We'll recognize Him because of His glory. But we'll also, they said, there it was as a lamb as it had been slain. And beloved, I tell you what, that's the evidence that God accepted Him is the wounds in His hands and the ribbon in His side and the nail prints in His feet. Huh? And what's the proof of our justification? Our justification. That God's no longer against us. That our sins have been paid. Our debt's been paid. Redemption price has been set and it's been paid. What's the reason and proof of our justification? His resurrection. His resurrection. How do you know that God accepted you and justified you? There He sits at God's right hand. Proof that payment was accepted. Huh? Oh, I'll tell you, let me give you another proof that He was accepted. That His sacrifice, that is accepted, that His sacrifice was accepted, that His redemption was successful. God received Him in the glory and set Him at His own right hand. Look in Hebrews 10:12. Let me almost show you this. You know, I read it to you there a minute ago in Hebrews 1 where it says, you know, to which of the angels did God at any time set at thy right hand? But look here in Hebrews 10:12. What is said here? God received Him into glory and set Him at His own right hand. You know, He's sitting in the majesty on high. You think about this. There's a man in glory that was once on a cross, and now He sits on a throne with all power and authority. Now watch what is said here. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, sit down. Where did He sit down at? On the right hand of God. What's He going to do? He's going to sit there till every one of His enemies made His footstool. And listen to the next verse. By this one offering, by this one sacrifice for sins, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, can you get any better than that? Can you get any better than that? Perfected? Oh, my. Sit here till I make you enemies your footstool. Sit here far above all principalities and power. Can you imagine what it was like when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to glory after 40 days on this earth? 40 days. After His resurrection. 40, can you imagine what it was like when our Lord ascended back to glory? What it was like when the King of Kings entered there after what He had accomplished there? Arise, O ye gates. Lift up your head, ye everlasting gates. Here comes the King of glory. Here comes the Lord, mighty in battle, strong. He defeated all of these foes, and now He's going to glory. And He sits at the right hand of God. And as He sits there, you know what He's got? He's got a girdle. He's got a belt around His waist. And on that belt, there's a set of keys hanging. Two keys. And you know what those two keys are? They're hanging on His belt. You can read about it in Revelation. He has the keys of hell and the keys of death. And neither one of them is ever going to be used against me. Oh, let me hurry up here. Let me tell you this. Second point, that was redemption. I tried to tell you about redemption. What it accomplished. Why it was accepted. The ransom was made. We was in debt and couldn't pay it. Christ paid it. And this ransom, this redemption in Christ, it's effectual for justification. Look what it says there in verse 24 again. Being justified freely. Being justified freely. Now let me tell you something about justification. Now justification has to do with law. Before law, you're justified before law. Or you're justified before God. And let me ask you this question. What would be God's justification for accepting you? What would be God's justification to receive you? Huh? And then, beloved, and justification is something done outside of ourselves. It's something done without us. It's not something we do. It's something done outside of us. Something done in heaven itself. And only now, let me say a few things here. One way a man can be justified on earth, and justified means to be cleaned of all your guilt. Got one in here somewhere. Started the other day. But oh, listen. One way a man can be justified on earth in a court of law. The only way a man can be justified is to be found not guilty. He stands in the court of law. He's charged with a crime. He's charged with a crime, and then, beloved, the law finds him not guilty. He is justified. And so the law says he's a just man. He's not guilty. And the law has to let him go. But if he's found guilty, now listen to me. If he's found guilty, then nothing can justify him. The law can't justify him. Court can't justify him. Now, they may pardon him, but he's still guilty. The pardon don't do away with his guilt. And the pardon doesn't change his standing before law. He's still guilty. The pardon doesn't change not only that, but it doesn't change his character. It doesn't change his character. The law can't change your character. Can't change your standing. But now I'll tell you the way God justifies a sinner. Now, we're talking about a sinner now. We're not talking about a fellow in court. We're talking about it before God. In our courts, under law, if a man was allowed, could take another man's punishment. But if it was allowed, if it could take place, he may take his punishment, but he couldn't take his guilt. Could he? He could not take the man's character upon himself. Flesh and blood can't do this, but our Lord Jesus Christ did, could, and did by His redemption. Now here's what happened. I stood condemned before God. The whole world's guilty before God. Mouth is stopped. I got no way in the world to clear myself. I got nothing to say for myself. I stood condemned, guilty. God will, God must punish me. The Lord Jesus comes, and what He does is He takes me and stands me aside. And then He stands up before God and said, punish me. He not only takes my place, but here's something He can do that nobody else can do. He can take my guilt. He can take my guilt. And beloved, I tell you, men are guilty whether they feel guilty or not. Is that all right? Men are guilty whether they feel it or not. But He can take my guilt. He can take my shame. He can take my sin. He can take my punishment. He had the ability to do this. That's what substitution was about. And by shedding His blood, that was the price of your and my salvation. And so Christ set me aside, and He took my guilt, took my shame, took my sin, took my punishment. When the law says, die, put him on death row, Christ says, I'll go to death row for him. And God being just, now listen to me, God being just, He lets me go free. If somebody else bore my sin, bore my guilt, bore my sin, then I get to go free. Our Lord stands before Him and says, let Him go. You've got me, let Him go. I've bore His guilt, let Him go. I've bore His sin, let Him go. I've bore His punishment, let Him go. He has my righteousness. He's as righteous as me. Christ says, let me have His guilt. Give Him my righteousness. Let me bear His curse. Let Him have all the blessings they are in me. Let me stand before you imperfect with justice bearing down on me, and let Him stand before you perfect. Let me be judged for all of His imperfections, and let me bear His sin, and let Him bear my obedience and righteousness. No wonder David says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Huh? Oh, listen, let me tell you something. God does not save a sinner by passing over the penalty That's something that you and I get outraged about. We get outraged. We'll see somebody commit a crime. About that man that took all those girls and held them captive for all those years and kept them chained up. Why in the world can earthly justice punish him the way he ought to be punished? And we get outraged when we see somebody get off. And justice don't come down on them. But I tell you what, God doesn't save us by passing over the penalty. No, the penalty's been paid. Huh? Christ is His people substitute. Substitution. What a word. Substitution. That's why Christ was called the Lamb of God. Every morning under the law, they had a morning lamb that they offered every morning. And then they had an evening lamb that they offered it every evening. And what it done, it was offered for Israel every morning, every evening. That lamb bore the sins of those people every day. Morning and evening. But Christ bore our sins once in His own body on the tree. Once. And put away all our sin once and for all. And by this way, God can save us with a perfect salvation. God Himself set Him forth to be our propitiation. And let me tell you some blessings of this justification. Look over here in Psalm 103. Look at some of these blessings. Oh my. Justified. There's people here this morning. And we know how weak we are. We know how frail we are. We know our own thoughts. We know our own imaginations. We know what we think. We know what we do. We're not fooled in ourselves. We're not deceived in ourselves. And so how in the world can we stand here before God and say that I'm perfectly justified? I have no sin. I have a righteousness. That God Himself is the one. It's God that justified. Who is He that condemneth? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we may justify ourselves in something that we do. But when we talk about justifying ourselves before God, being justified freely by His grace through Christ paying the ransom. Now, listen here, Psalm 103 and verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He ain't dealt with us after our sins, but who did He deal with? He dealt with Christ, didn't He, Brad? Listen here, and listen to this. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What did He reward us with? The obedience of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. And listen to what else He says. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. That's a long way off, ain't it? Cast them into the depths of the sea. Carry them all away. And you know, and on the day, great day of atonement, that one day a year, they bring a goat. The priest lays hands on the head of that goat and confess all the sins of all of Israel. And then they'd take him and they'd confess them sins, lay all their sins on him. Now that goat had sinned. And that goat couldn't put their sin away, but from one year to the next. So they'd take that goat that had kept. Laid his hands on, put his sins on. They'd take him off and slit his throat and take the blood and take it into the holiest of holy and offer it. Then they had another goat. It was a live goat. And this live goat was what they called the scapegoat. This one over here died for sin. And then to make sure that, to give them evidence that sins was all taken away, they chose a fit man. And he would take this other goat, the scapegoat, and they'd confess sin over him, and away he'd go. And he was to take that goat way off into the wilderness and leave it there. And what it meant was, beloved, this sins had been paid for here.
death, death. The innocent for the innocent for the guilty. And then to show that the sins are gone, really gone, to give it just as a type and to show, give comfort to the people. The way he'd go, leading that goat off, and the folks would stand there and watch and watch and watch. In a little while, he'd go out of sight. Then he'd come back, and the goat wouldn't come back with him. Our Christ went into the tomb, went to the cross and went into the tomb. He died as for our sins. And then as that Lord's fit man, he carried our sins as far away till God himself can't even remember them anymore and can't find them. Can't find them. Where's your sins at? God said, I don't remember. I didn't. You sin? You got sin? I don't remember. I don't remember you having any sin. I don't remember that. And let me tell you something, this justification never changes. Never changes. You're as justified as you'll ever be. Can't be no more justified one time than another. Even in eternity, the debt's been paid. God will never ask for it again. And the righteousness of Christ given us. Let me show you this quickly. Here in Romans 3:24. Look what it says. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. I've talked about redemption. Talked about justification, the justification of sinners. And then how we get this justification, this redemption that's in Christ. Look what it says. Freely by His grace. It's free. Free. Free to us. Freely by His grace. It can't be bought. It can't be earned. It can't be deserved. Now, if we preach justification by setting a price on it, most would be very happy to have it. But to set no price on it, to be justified freely by grace, to God said, I'll love them freely. But if you tell folks if you'd suffer enough, give enough, weep enough, attend church enough, quit this bad habit, that bad habit. Most folks will say, boy, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be justified. But when you're justified freely, and you have nothing to do with it. Do you mean I can have this justification? I can have this redemption? I can have this grace and this justification freely? That it don't cost anything, me anything? That I don't have to do anything, don't have to do nothing? Yes, freely, by His grace. And let me tell you something. If it's by grace, that means that it's free. And let me tell you something, ask you something. Can you believe this blessed truth? Can you believe that? I can. Because I know that the only way I'm going to be justified is for Christ to pay my debt. For Him to be accepted of God. And for Him to justify me by His grace. And He has to do that freely because I have absolutely no way in the world to earn it. I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough to get it. So if I get it, He's got to give it to me. He's got to do it all. All to Him I owe. Ain't that right? Our blessed, blessed Savior. I bless you today. I praise you that you allowed us to preach the gospel again. I pray that the Holy Spirit would make it clear, make it effectual, make it understandable, make it real, make it vital to a heart. And for that soul who believes, who rests in the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for it. I thank you that you taught us this blessed, blessed gospel, this justification by the free grace of Christ, this paying of our debt by the blood of Christ. This our acceptance in our Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness that's charged to our account
where we stand righteous before God Himself, without spot, without blemish, holy and unreprovable in His sight. Father, we thank You for these things. And Lord, we're going to have dinner after a while, and I thank You for this ladies and the men that's prepared this food, the love and care that went into it, all the effort that's been done to prepare it and set it up. I thank You for it. And Lord, You bless Your people according to Your riches and glory. In Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Amen.
125 in the hymn book.